welcome to the Mad Trio Podcast. This week we have the California Pariah, Jonathan Charney, James the Fat Man Stevens, and the man who always says yes, Ryan Preston.
I watched that movie and it really stuck.
You mean that TV show, Say Yes to the Dress?
No. Well, that too, because I watched that after I watched Yes Man.
Ah, gotcha.
It was more the fact his girl likes it, and so he's trying to make up an excuse.
And it's this real vicious cycle where I say yes, watching the show, Say Yes to the Dress, and then once watching the show, I said yes to all the dresses, and I have a lot of debt now.
I bet. That's some expensive shit.
Jeez. Before the show was starting, we were talking about what games we were playing, and I've been playing, Assassin's Creed Origins. I like level games because I don't have a whole lot of time to play, so I can play them for years.
Yeah.
I think I played Fallout 4 for 2.5 years without getting bored, and I still play it. I still play it time to time.
Skyrim for, 6 years?
Something like that. And now Skyrim's back on every freaking platform.
Well, they have some damn good replayability, too. But, you can really level your pace, you know what I mean, as much as you want. I fucking got my 60-year-old father into playing video games, and the one that did it was Skyrim. But see, and I started actually thinking about this, the guy's actually been a bit of a gamer my whole life. He used to play, you know, whatever games that we had on stage. He was the one that actually got me into, like, the old-school Warcraft before it turned into the MMO. Yeah. But I got him into Skyrim and then into Fallout. And like Charney, I mean, he'll play this shit for, you know, 9-10 months before, you know, calling me and saying, "Hey, I'm level 65," and he's all super proud of it. And I'm like, "All right, I'm level 125, dude." This is my third playthrough. Yeah,
I would have to actually go and look, but I think my character is over 250.
Well, part of my issue is the fact that between work and my children, it's like I get maybe 4 hours a week to play, and that's the time that's not in like a 4-hour block. That's like 15 minutes here, half hour here.
But I was just going to say, I mean, it is one of those things where you can just kind of, I'm just going to kind of do a couple of quests and call it quits here before dinner or something.
Yeah.
Like my favorite thing about Origins is because Assassin's Creed, you definitely get to screw around. I killed 3 of the main characters by accident, and you know you kill them because there's a cutscene that pops up. I did that 3 times, and I've still no idea who they are. And this was at a low level. I literally was just up top of this tower, just hitting people with arrows and shit.
Oh,
and so that's the reason
didn't need to talk to them first.
Well, I don't now.
Yeah.
See, when I'm playing those games, and I think James probably does the version of the same thing. First of all, I loved Assassin's Creed Origins. What a fucking awesome looking game that was!
But I
try to overpower super early in the game. Like, I will go and craft everything possible. I want to have the best possible shit by the time I start doing like story missions, just so I'm like super OP when I fucking run across like the boss. Like, oh, you're gonna talk a bunch of shit, or you're gonna die in like 2 swings. So fuck you.
Well, the greatest thing about Assassin's Creed Origins, if you find really good gear, like I have this bow that's automatically have these things on fire, you can level up. You don't have to throw it away and look for another one. You can just level up as you go. So when I find good stuff, I just keep it with me. So.
Yeah, there was
There are certain things that I started to. I mean, man, I got rid of a lot of gear in that game because there's a lot of different types of stuff as opposed to the old Assassin's Creeds where, you know, it was really a limited amount of things you were getting. But this is like you have the spear of such and such and the bow of such and such. And they all have different combinations of different stuff. And it was fun looting.
Yeah, one of my favorite moments in Skyrim, and if you guys have played any Bethesda games like that, I remember it was one of the master trainers, hand-to-hand combat. I just walked up to them, and they're like, "Oh, yeah, we'll train you." And it's part of the quest line. So I just straight, like, punched them once. They fell down. Like, "Oh, yeah, you're more powerful. I'm like, "Oh, quest over."
By the way, it totally reminds me of Assassin's Creed. Reminds me a little bit of Borderlands, considering how many ridiculous weapons you run across. Like, this is the weapon of some guy you've never heard of's Fury Stick, and it's just like, whoa!
It's not as good as the Wabba Jack.
Man,
nothing's as good as the Wabba Jack.
Yeah, the Wabba Jack is my favorite weapon of any game of all time.
Exactly.
For sure.
But, just because it's awesome. So random. So,
didn't but I yeah, man, one guy's horse into like a chicken it,
and it killed the guard?
Actually, the only thing that was as good as that was, that wheel.
Oh, from Fable.
Yes, that's it.
Yeah, if you guys haven't played the Fable games, check those out. Those are great. Not the first one, but the second and third, or second and
like, yeah, second and
second
third one.
And third one.
Yeah. I think it's vaguely in the second.
Yeah, to some people, like when you first look at it, it may look like a kid's game, but that is not a kid's game. I mean, you can literally have sex with people and have children, and then kill them.
Yeah, it's got a very arcade sort of a style to it. I mean, like when you hit stuff, the little orbs drop out that you go and then collect and. And it's got a real kind of a Zelda vibe, sort of in that way, or just old school arcade kind of stuff. But it is it gets to be a very adult game very quickly.
Oh, yeah. It has this wheel of torture, like you strap somebody to it and you hit a switch, and it comes up with some random way you torture it. And in the second game, the more you do it, like the evil you become, and it's hilarious.
A fun game,
Like I think you turn people into chickens.
It's
one of those first kinds of games where like your actions from day to day literally have an effect on the future, quite a bit down the road. You know,
so
it was pretty kind of groundbreaking in that time.
Do you know anything about was it Fallout 76? Like what exactly it is?
Mm. Yeah. So basically, what's going on is it takes place. All of the Fallouts are in a different timeline. So how it basically breaks down quickly is in 2077, nuclear war happens, okay? But let me actually back up even further. Somewhere after World War II, the timeline sort of split where our future went this direction and the Fallout future went in the direction of sort of like a 1950s version of the future. You know, where everyone's still wearing those 1950s dresses, like the cleavers, but everything's nuclear powered, like robots and shit. 2077, the bombs drop. Nuclear war happens. But the meantime, this company, Vault-Tec, had been building vaults underground to house people for unbeknownst experiments, but also to repopulate the Earth after the radiation and whatever is decided. So they all take place in a different timeline, some of them hundreds of years after, some of them, you know, a couple hundred years after, 100 years after, you know, whatever. This one takes place as like something like 26 years, I think, if I remember right, after the bombs. And this is the first vault to open and become like the population survivors of humanity. So it's the earliest version of everything.
So I was just reading it because I've been trying to figure out what it was, and I haven't had a whole lot of time lately. It says it's an online multiplayer action role. So is it an MMO? Yeah. So it's a Fallout MMO?
So, yeah. Basically, that's what it is. Now, you need so many people in any particular server, and I'm not sure exactly how it's going to work. I've sort of been willfully ignorant on the finer details because I want to just play it. But online with other players inside of, like, picture Fallout 4, there'd be other players around. But it's four times the size of the map of Fallout 4. And they basically explained, like, if you don't want to run into somebody, you don't necessarily have to.
Oh, so does
you
this...
You know, there's so much space.
So the only issue with MMOs, in the Skyrim, the Elder Scrolls MMO has the same issue. You basically are forced to become a non-single player. Like, can you play the single player and run into people, or are you gonna...
There is a single player element to the game. It's not going to be the same sort of dynamic way where you're affecting everything around you like that. It's just sort of pre everything becoming a story the way that it has. It's just like the settlers, and I think it's going to focus more on you know, some combat and maybe some commerce. Like, they seem to imply that they were going to motivate people to interact with each other based on, you know, commerce or goods or services or what have you, or teaming up for certain.
As long as you're not forced to be a group player, like, I have no doubt when this comes out, you know, we're all get it, and, you know, and James and I will be continually trying to kill each other, as our tradition goes.
Yeah.
but as long as
they're trying to encourage cooperation, is what I hear.
Because just like the guy on the anime Sword Art Online, I generally prefer single player solo games. But however, if I get to play with these guys in a game that we actually like, I may end up having a few long days at work.
Yeah, well, see, this is why I've been fucking trying to preach to you guys that I've been playing fucking PUBG lately, or Player Unknown's Battlegrounds for you uneducated folks out there.
I didn't know what the fuck it was until a couple of weeks ago.
Well, you know what? I've been hearing about it, and it almost seemed like something for like tweens or something. I don't know why I put that kind of a label on it in my mind, but maybe because of Fortnite, and Fortnite looked very, very sort of cheesy and, you know, not a whole lot to it. Battlegrounds is the same sort of thing. It's a battle royale style game where there's this giant map that would take you forever to run from one side to the next on, with 100 players in the same map. Now, the idea is you drop in basically, you know, damn near bare ass naked, or you might as well be, and you collect gear as you land in different places. And the map itself starts shrinking with this sort of blue force field that starts surrounding you, and it gives you different zones that you need to be inside of in order to sort of continue in that particular map. And everyone's trying to kill each other, but they're also trying to go progressively into the smaller and smaller circles. But when it does that, it's basically, obviously, the gimmick is to get everybody to eventually meet in the middle, or the people that are left.
Yeah.
You know? So usually by the time it gets really crazy, there's only about maybe 15 people left, and they all end up kind of meeting either in the middle of a field or in a town, and they start shooting at each other and, you know, last man standing. Yeah.
Doesn't sound like a game I would enjoy, even though the last part of it reminds me of the movie Looper.
No, see, it's remarkably addictive. It's ridiculous. It actually has rekindled a friendship that I had. James knows Brandon. We started chatting again. We've getting a divorce, so he's got a lot of free time. That's beside the point.
Apparently not, if he has more free time to play
download
games.
PUBG.
So is this a cell phone game, or is this...
It started as PC, and it actually moved to mobile, and they just released an Xbox One version.
Nice.
Maybe at some
point
I'll
that's
try.
What I downloaded it for. It was like $30, but me, him, and a couple of buddies that he knows from work jump in as a squad, and... You know, if there's a four-man squad in the 100 players, there's obviously, you know, 25 squads going at it against each other. But playing it with friends is hilarious. Good times.
Because there's two games that I want. There's Fallout 76 comes out in November, and then Red Dead.
Fucking game. Red Dead October, man. I'm
October.
Excited.
So there's two games that I want, like. I'll pretty much buy every Fallout game so far. I actually bought Fallout 3 for my computer, then I updated Windows, and then I could never play it again. That kind of pissed me off.
Well, you know, I have so much faith in Bethesda just from Skyrim or The Elder Scrolls in general and the Fallout series.
The Elder Scrolls
MMO was actually a great little game, too.
Elder Scrolls
MMO
sucked.
If they want to do this with...
Let me just put it, I did not
Elder Scrolls
like
what?
The MMO Elder Scrolls, it was awful.
That's
I did
what
not
I
like
heard
it.
Too,
oh yeah, well that's I've actually known people who really enjoyed that, but that's a really side project kind of thing. Yeah. Like it never affected the actual games themselves.
True.
But
I mean, of course
so this one being the new Fallout, if they want to sort of run this experiment to see if they have the gameplay style to kind of break into this sort of deal, then great. You know, they're gonna come out with the Skyrim 6 or 5 rather.
So are they going to have horse armor in Fallout 76?
Are they going to have what?
Horse armor.
Horse armor. Oh, I have no idea. I have no idea if there's horses. Did I miss something?
I mean, you remember horse armor, right?
And Oblivion?
Yep.
That was a DLC. You spent like $15 for horse armor that didn't do diddly. Especially if you
I did not get the downloaded
horse armor.
The downloaded content on that one. Well, except I got Shivering Isles and Knights of the Nine, I think it was.
Oh, you never got the Alchemy Tower? The Wizard's Tower, I think it was called?
No.
That was a dope DLC, especially if you could do the hack.
I still got the fucking game.
Oh, by the way, I was going to say, your guys' conversation about being super high level reminds me of an anime I've been watching. It's called How Not to Summon a Demon. Mm. I really like the anime. There's elements that kind of annoy me. It's a tad bit of a harem anime, which generally drives me nuts. But this guy is a super high level video game player of a certain game in the real world. These two video game characters summon him. So he ends up in the video game. And because of some of the stuff he has equipped in his character, he ends up enslaving the people who summoned him. And so he's just like this super guy who, this character that can nerf everything. And it's absolutely hilarious to watch. Because there's some like so-called high-level character in this area he is in, tries to do something, and he just completely overpowers them. Check it out. It's a hilarious anime to watch. It's currently, I think, on Japan. It's on Crunchyroll.
Did I ever talk you guys into watching One Punch Man?
Yes.
Oh, dude, I was watching that before you. I love that. That's one of my favorites.
My favorite scene in that show...
That really is one of my favorites.
My favorite scene in the whole show is there's that scene in the dojo where the guy's moving that thing around and the One Punch Man gets serious and all of a sudden you see that old guy go, oh, shit, and then just, like, move out of the way. And One Punch Man's like, dude!
I just like my favorite scene in the whole fucking show is when there was a particular, you know, monster or whatever he was trying to defeat. And it's all satire, you know what I mean? So if you're sort of an anime fan out there, this is the most satirical look at anime in general. Okay. It's hilarious. But the one scene where he's trying to defeat this one dude, and he's all huge and shit, and the guy yells at him, and he starts freaking out. And you assume it's because he's freaking out because of the monster, but he just realized that there was a 2-for-1 sale at the grocery store that he was missing.
Yeah.
And he started to get in a hurry and just beat the shit out of the dude really fast and left to try to get to the grocery store.
The ninja's another one.
This is going to be my favorite show of all time.
The ninja one's the other part that I always thought was funny. That he kicked this ninja's ass and he really was just kind of goofing around. You got to watch that. I was going to say, I was thinking while when we were talking about anime a couple of weeks ago and what anime kind of started you into it.
Helsing.
I've been watching anime longer probably than both of these combined, James and Ryan. My first, the Sci-Fi Channel, I think this was back on the Big Dish days, used to have what was called Japanimation Sundays. It used to be called Japanimation before, for some reason, they changed it to anime. I actually don't know why. There was a couple. There was Vampire Hunter D, the first one. There was Lensman, Secret of the Lens. And there was another one. It was like Cyber City Odo, O-B... It's like O-B-E-O. All great. The Cyber City Oboe is kind of... Odo? Whatever. It's kind of like a cyberpunk. But check those out if you want to see some old school ones. Green Legend Rand is another one of my favorites.
You could always do what I did the first time and watch X the movie.
Watch the first episode of the series.
And it'll explain everything.
Yeah,
go watch X the movie first and then go watch the first episode. You would just be like, oh... hour and a half and you could have done that.
No, seriously, it's 100% true. I bought the entire thing of X the series and I told James, hey, I bought this, you know, let's watch it. He's like, okay. And like after like I think there's like three episodes on it, James is like, oh, I finally get the movie.
Yeah, you can be watching the movie and you're just like, this is the worst shit ever, I will never watch anime again. And then you watch the first, it was like the first episode and you're just like, why didn't they do like 10 minutes of this?
Yeah.
Literally.
It's a really good series, by the way, that also has my favorite orchestral instrumental in any anime is actually in that particular anime. Favorite soundtrack ever is still Cowboy Bebop. A big fan of jazz and blues.
Yeah, I still like Helsing's, the entire series. Like, you can actually buy the music for it, and it's actually really good music.
You guys got to get it for the bloopers alone.
The bloopers in Berserk are way better.
The bloopers are hilarious.
Yeah, the bloopers are funny, but in Helsing, but the bloopers from Berserk are the best ever. I want to see if you guys can figure out. I'm not going to tell you where this happened, but this was yesterday. So, the police have launched an investigation after officers were called to a wooded area Monday at 4 p.m. And there was a group of children accompanied by an adult that had been searching for what they thought to be kittens after hearing noises, but instead came across a man buck naked holding a cushion in front of him. What? Where do you think this happened?
So can we play 20 questions?
Sure.
Were there banjos somewhere in this town?
Nope, no banjos. Banjo playing is not from this area.
Was it a tech capital?
Gotta be Germany.
All right, Ryan's on the right track.
It's either Florida or Germany. It's always Florida or Germany.
Was there Wiener Schnitzel?
Cheshire police.
England.
Yep, were the ones that had to launch their investigation. What was this dude on?
Something fun, apparently.
Yeah, obviously.
Because it's either going to be fun or horrible that you wind up buck naked. Because,
the kids actually started looking for kittens. And, was he really just sitting in the bush going, meow, meow?
You know what really happened?
What?
You know what really happened? Him and his mates were out partying. He got too screwed up, and his mates just left him there without his clothes.
Yeah, pretty much. But
it was a rib.
Yeah, that's one of the weirdest things I've heard for this year.
I've got a hypothetical.
Okay.
That I want to run by both of you. This is an obsession of mine since this morning. Okay, hypothetical situation, and this is going to be oddly specific, so bear with me.
Great.
It's 1968. Okay, let's say. You guys are astronauts being trained for the first mission to the moon. Okay. So they move you out to, the Mojave Desert somewhere out here in the Southwest and, say, hey, this patch of fucking desert looks just like the moon. Let's set camp up and train some astronauts. So that's where you are. And, amongst your time there, you're out taking a walk or something of that nature. And you run across a local sort of Indian or Native American, I don't know, it's an offensive term anymore, just wandering out there, taking a walk also or something like that. And he's like, oh, hey, what are you white devils doing out here? He doesn't say that, but he's like, hey, what are you guys doing here? And you explain to him, oh, we're astronauts, and we're going to go to the moon. And he looks at you and he's like, holy shit, that's amazing. Hey, check this out. We and my people believe that there are spirits on the moon. Okay, and what are the odds that we might have this sort of unique opportunity? Would you mind passing a message to our spirit gods? Okay. This is the first part of the hypothetical. What is your general response right there?
Was somebody on peyote when the story came up?
Say sure, no problem. What do you want me to say?
Okay, so now, Charney, anything?
This is oddly specific, and was there some sort of substance involved in this situation?
Peyote,
this will have a point at the end, I promise.
You've said that before, and then I end up watching A Clockwork Orange.
Yeah, I'm not stoned enough to forget this point, though. I run this by everybody all day. You are not the first.
Okay.
So yes, you would say, yeah, sure, I'll pass along a message to your fucking spirit moon people, right? So he's like, okay, so here, you have to say it in our language, and let me teach you these words here. It's not too complicated, but repeat them over and over again so I know you got it. And you do, and you learn these particular words. And then just out of curiosity, you're like, oh, okay, what's it mean? And then he said, I'm sorry, it's kind of a tribal thing, it's not really for you to understand. I just will ask you to say it.
Yeah.
Once you're there, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I'd say it.
This is the second part.
No.
You're just okay?
I wouldn't. I'd have to know what it meant.
To know what it meant. So would you stop him and say like, no, what does it mean?
I would say, can you write it down is what I'd say.
I would probably more like you do to your grandma who's kind of losing it. It's like, okay, I'll do it, and then just totally forget about it.
Okay, but you wouldn't like dig your heels into this old man and say like, no, unless you tell me what it is, you can fuck yourself. I'm not saying it to your moon people.
Yeah, no, I would listen, and then, well, because I got a shitty memory, I'd forget anyways. But yeah, I'd listen and then probably just ignore it.
Okay,
I'd
sure.
Say
yeah,
write
I mean,
it down. So I, you know, I
the point being though is that it doesn't matter once you're away from there whether or not you say mystical words to nothing at the moon.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I get that.
That would sort of be your understand. It's like, okay, well, obviously, I don't actually have to say this sequence of noises with my face to nothing whilst I'm standing on the moon. But I can tell this old person, yeah, fuck yeah, I'll pass the message along to your moon people.
Yeah, I mean, there's
but it wouldn't cross your mind to say no unless you tell me what it means. I can't say this even to your fiction moon people.
Yeah, I mean, I'd listen.
Okay, the three fucking people I talked to since this morning all looked at me like, no, fuck that old man. If he didn't say what it means, I'm not saying shit. What if he's asking him to say some commie shit? And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, it doesn't
matter. Yeah, that's
like,
my
the guy can tell you that you're fuck your mother while you're standing on the moon, and even if you say the word, it doesn't mean a damn thing. And he's like, no. No, he could be saying,
commie,
you know,
shit. What
stupid.
Is this, the 1940s or 50s? Are we really worried about pinkos in this age?
Now, my question is, did this
we
really
have
happen
Donald Trump
to
as
an
president
astronaut
for crying out
training?
Loud.
That's my question. Did this really happen to an astronaut that was training?
So,
because they do
check
do
this
that.
Out. Fucking 1960, whatever year they happen to be training here for the first moon landing.
Late 60s. A
couple of the astronauts, don't remember who it was. The hell was that?
John watching shit.
Okay.
Is that what they were saying?
Yeah, sure. Might as well have been. Okay. In any case, these guys run into this particular guy, and he asks them, hey, you know, we believe that there's spirits on the moon. Would you mind passing on this message? And they're like, fuck yeah. And they told them the words or whatever, and they, you know, memorized them real quick and repeated them back a bunch of times and asked them, you know, out of curiosity, what it meant. And the guy's like, I'm sorry, you know, it's kind of, you know, just for our people, we just want you to say this if you don't mind. And they're like, yeah, sure, no problem. So when they get back to their base camp or whatever, they started asking around if anybody knew sort of, you know, that particular language. And they found somebody, some guy did, you know, whatever. And so they went and told them the words, you know, hey, what does this mean? And I guess the guy just hit the ground laughing and sort of after collecting himself was like, it basically means, don't believe a word we're saying. We're here to steal your land.
That's
pretty good.
Yeah.
See, yes. So again, the three people that I was talking to today were like, see, exactly. That's why I wouldn't do it. I'm like, you're saying these words to nobody and you were a dick to an old man for no fucking reason.
Yeah.
And they're like, what? If I'm not good enough to know what it means, then suck it. I was just baffled by that response.
You got to humor the old dude. I mean, come on. It's at least be respectful enough to listen. You know, I mean, kind of.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Look, from a rational point of view, whether or not you believe him or whether or not you even think he's just being subversive some way, you know, like, what does it matter? What if it is some sacred thing that he really can't tell you because that would fuck up the whole deal? Or, I mean, you don't know.
By the way, I do love that commie thing you said. What is it, a commie shit? It's like, really?
Yeah. I'm fucking in 1990 or something like that, and people are still sort of worried about Russians.
We weren't worried about it in the 90s as much. I mean, that's more like 50s when you had that guy
80s,
round. When you were the
even
guy
the
was
80s. I mean, you were more looking for like.
Well, I mean, I'm thinking more of the McCarthy trials. You know, when like, are your friend a commie? Tell me all your friends who are commies, and we'll let you go. Type of thing. Yeah. I mean, come on.
Sure,
what
right,
do
right.
I don't know anybody who's afraid of commies at this point. Matter of fact, I know a few people who are like, yay, communism.
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, whatever. Like you said, I'm saying it to nobody. You know, I mean, are we going to the dark side of the moon and go hang out with aliens?
Because, I mean, here's the thing is, like, if they do believe that, like I am in a unique position to pass a message along to this dude's fictional people, you know, or whatever.
I mean, it's not like he's saying we're going to give them blankets.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you know. But I thought it was funny that I mean, here's the thing is that they're like, see, I was right the whole time. I'm like, you got to figure it from this guy's point of view because he's actually, I mean, he probably believed that in sincerity, like, no, this is actually the message I need to pass along to these moon people because if the Americans are going to the moon, they need to be fucking warned.
Yeah, I guarantee that old guy believed what he told that astronaut.
Oh, and he probably said it with the most earnest right. sort of point of view about it. And to me, that's the sweetest thing in the world. Like, that's just some sweet old man who's like, I need to warn the Dar Moon spirits.
I bet it was a shitting grin. So
My point is I'm sure he didn't walk away laughing like, ha, stupid white devil, fucking believe me.
So did any of you ever watch Disney's The Mighty Duck? Not the cartoons, the live action that came out many years ago.
Yeah.
Are you kidding? I was born in 1985. I think we were issued that movie in the suburbs.
So Sean Weiss or Weiss.
Emilio Estevez, wasn't that?
The guy who played Goldberg the goalie was arrested in Oroville, California, if I remember correctly. That's
a really shitty place.
Very stinky.
Yeah.
Was just arrested. And I've never felt more sorry for a child actor in my life. This guy definitely felt pretty hard on drugs. You got to look up the mugshot. Because I loved that movie when it came out as a kid.
The first one came out in 92.
Oh, wow.
So, I wonder how many people have made the joke already on Twitter. Goldberg!
You're actually the first one I've heard, believe it or not.
More than you think, honestly.
He's the first one I've heard, but on the other hand, I haven't read any of the comments.
It's Twitter. These people are way faster than me, trust me.
Have you guys heard of the show Kidding?
No.
Kidding, no.
It's just going to be released pretty soon, and September 9th is where when the premiere is going to happen. I don't see much on IMDb about it, but it looks like it's going to be more of the style of Pee-wee's Playhouse. And can you guess who's going to be the star? Jim Carrey.
I thought you were going to say Lawrence Fishburne. I was going to get really excited.
I would be too. I was thinking Lawrence Fishburne was going to do it, or Christopher Walken.
I was thinking they were going to pick Kevin Spacey,
but
because he loves 14-year-olds.
I'm just kind of surprised that Jim Carrey's doing a TV show again. I mean, he hasn't done one of those since, like, what, In Living Color?
At this point, maybe, yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
I don't think he has much of a choice. I think it's one of those things. I mean, as far as career-wise, I don't think he has a choice. He has a choice financially.
Did you just say that you don't think Jim Carrey has much of a choice?
Name a movie he's been in the last 5 years, and that he's at least been in that people remember.
Doing a lot of serious movies.
True, he did get into serious movies.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely still working, and trust me, I'm sure he's not hurting for money.
Well, no, that's what I was saying. I mean, I think career-wise, I think he's kind of in a rut. Definitely not financially.
Career-wise, he's done exactly what he's wanted to do.
Yeah,
trust me, if he wanted to be in a goofy movie, there's not a studio around that wouldn't fund that shit.
Yeah,
I wish there was. As a matter of fact, I feel the same way about Adam Sandler.
But he doesn't want to do it, though. You know, he's obviously moved in the opposite direction of that.
Can Adam Sandler move into retirement?
I think he
kind of is. Fuck yourself. I like Adam Sandler.
Somebody has to.
I like Adam Sandler. I mean, I don't think like everything he's done is great, but I think he has really good movies out there. I think he really does. I mean, I still like The Mask. I mean...
So in a weird piece of news, the devil's favorite demon is now the mayor of Knoxville, Tennessee. Glenn Jacobs. He's the WWE.
Is that Kane?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, shit.
Kane is officially the mayor of Knoxville, Tennessee. He's around 50-ish.
Wait, the mayor. I don't know why I thought you said governor. Hasn't he been the mayor for like a little while now?
No, he just got he had one election, and then there was another one. I think it was like a runoff. So he officially got elected. There's a video of him, which is hilarious, him coming up stage to talk to his people. I guess it was like the election night party. And he actually came out to, I think his song was Slow Chemical, his first theme song. He actually enters the room with that. And somebody on the podium says, I miss your mask.
Actually, no, he said that. He said, I miss the mask.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
So I think it's interesting. It's amazing how many people are like, oh my God, this guy's a wrestler. He's Jesse Ventura all over again. I've heard Glenn Jacobs talk. He sounds a little bit more coherent than Jesse the Body Ventura ever did.
True.
Plus the fact, I doubt this guy's done as many drugs as Jesse the Body Ventura has done.
Yeah. Probably.
And he's
define drugs. I mean, do we qualify steroids as drugs? Because that dude has been on some Mexican cocktails in his lifetime.
Who, Ventura? Or Kane?
No, Jacobs.
Both. Oh, you think
so? I'd
say
both.
Oh, yeah. What are you fucking kidding? Have you seen that dude in the ring? That dude didn't just bench press.
True. I just think it's interesting the fact that he's a, what is he? He's a libertarian, too. Which I thought was interesting.
Well, you know, look, here's the thing. I mean, you know, people look at sort of, you know, celebrities and things like that as sort of being one thing or another. But, you know, it is still individuals, and individuals have different interests and things. And if those interests happen to align with an entire community of people, you know, who he has a platform to talk to, then, you know, it's a name that people recognize. It's not, like, I wouldn't say, like, oh, just because he's a wrestler, he's probably some dumbass politician. I mean, he's probably pretty smart to move from wrestling into something like that.
I thought it was interesting.
I don't know anything about his politics. I'm just saying I wouldn't write it off simply because he's fucking Kane. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, he's a libertarian. According to him, he's a libertarian by politic-wise, but he ran as a Republican. Everybody I've ever heard who's part of the wrestling has always said Glenn Jacobs is one of the smartest people in wrestling.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
Which I think is kind of cool. I say, you know, more power to him. I mean, he seems like a smart guy. You can't. So I think it's pretty badass. I really do.
Well, again, it's actually cool because he's so different than his persona, from wrestling. And I haven't been a wrestling fan many, many years, but you got the mask and you got this costume and this whole persona where he doesn't talk at all. You know, it's the weird thing. And so when he's out of that, it's such a different, you don't even think about him as the same guy. So it's not like Schwarzenegger where you see him on TV and you're like, oh, there's the fucking governor, you know?
It's not a Duma.
Yeah, it's not going to be a whole lot of, oh, Mayor Kane, you know, chance going around.
It would have to be, he would have to be different from his character in real life or he would be in prison.
Yeah.
right, yeah.
And another really piece of sad news, and this news has been out for a couple of weeks, Brian Christopher Lawler, otherwise known as Grandmaster Sexy of the group Too Cool, died in a jail cell. He unfortunately committed suicide. He had a number of run-ins with the law. He is the son of literally one of the most legendary wrestlers in all of wrestling history, at least the last 100 years of it, Jerry Lawler.
Yeah.
I was really bummed. I mean, Too Cool, I wasn't a giant fan of, but I was a fan of him. So, and it's just, I don't know, I think it really sucks when some guy has a lot of bum luck and ends up taking their lives.
Yeah, agreed.
So, wait a second, I Jerry Lawler, the king, Jerry Lawler.
Yeah.
Had a son who was in a hip-hop group from the sound of it?
No, so what it is Too Cool was a wrestling group in WWE. I think it was a tag team.
Oh, okay, am I not?
Rikishi was in the group. I don't remember the other guy. But yeah, they were in a group. And it was one of the more popular groups of the 2000s that I can remember. Yeah,
I don't remember them for some reason.
You would remember him if you saw a match of theirs. They were very...
I mean, I remember Rikishi.
Yeah.
Stink face.
Yeah, so I was really bummed about that. And then, you know, Jerry Lawler, who I've always been a fan of... You know,
So speaking of wrestling, sort of change tones here for a second. You know what movie I watched last night? Just because it just happened to be my girlfriend's mom basically just goes to Walmart and buys every new release that comes out. I don't understand it, but she has one of the most random collections of movies I've ever seen in my life. I didn't think there could be a movie collection. It was like this. This is the least curated movie collection ever.
Was it Ready to Rumble?
One of these days I'll take a picture of the wall of movies this woman has at her home. And just so you can start picking out titles, I mean, we're talking like the 1990s straight to DVD Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen movies, you know, right next to like The Negotiator from 1997.
I have the first Punisher movie with Dolph Lundgren.
We know.
Yeah, but you don't have that next to a Mary-Kate Ashley Olsen movie.
I may actually have that to a Christian next to a Christian movie.
Well, I mean, you know, but you can still tell, like, okay, hey, here is a particular person's interest based on his movie collection. Well, not this one.
Didn't you say they just, you know, pulled up a truck next to a Blockbuster and just put the, you know, everything in the truck?
I mean, yeah, that's really what it seems like. Is just, but in any case, like all the new ones. Anyway, we watched Cock Blockers, or I think which was
Cock.
What do you
blockers?
Call it? Yeah, it was advertised as just Blockers, but they put a rooster above Blockers, so you got the impression.
Are you watching
the movie
was called porno with your girlfriend and her mother?
No, Cock Blockers. It's not a full porno.
No,
it's just the beginning.
And her mom wasn't here. She just brought the movie home, and we watched it.
I mean, it's the plumber coming in and actually doing his job. You know, I mean, it's the pizza guy just coming in and handing them a pizza and walking out.
His best friend.
It's obviously not getting laid.
His best friend interrupting everything.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, this was just, I mean, it was a silly movie about these parents who were, who found out that their young daughters had started like a sex pact that they were going to lose their virginity on prom night. So the movie is about the parents going after their kids trying to stop said pact.
So I love
starring Leslie Mann, who I'm a real big fan of, a wife of Judd Apatow. She was in like This Is 40, Knocked Up, that kind of stuff. And John Cena.
So here's the
John Cena.
Here is the critics' consensus according to Rotten Tomatoes.
Well, can I tell you what I think first?
Well, hold on. Sure, go ahead.
Okay, fuck me, right?
I'd rather not.
No,
I'm married.
Not a bad movie. John Cena acted in a movie that he was funny in that had nothing to do with him being a giant person.
Right.
That movie deserves an award simply for that reason. He was legitimately funny in this movie.
That's funny. It's weird. He just released a YouTube video that I haven't watched called The Sixth Move of Doom.
Right. So what's the critic's consensus?
So here's the critic's consensus, just because the way they said it was funny. Critic's consensus. Blockers puts a gender swap spin on the teen sex comedy, one elevated by strong performances, a smart, funny script, and a surprisingly enlightened perspective.
Yeah, no doubt. It was actually like exactly what it said. It's sort of a reverse average teen movie, you know?
I love the fact that enlightened perspective on a teen movie. It just makes me laugh.
No, I mean, it was, like I said, I realized about halfway through, like, oh, this is actually kind of like a teen comedy that just is from the perspective of the parents. But, really, really good take on the whole sort of subject matter. But that's beside the point, because John Cena was in a movie that he acted as another person in, like, not as the wrestler John Cena, but he was in, like, playing a different person, and he was decent. Like, it was actually better than decent.
Hmm.
Like, I'm still a little shocked on it. It's weird.
Yeah,
I think John Cena's trying to do his exit strategy just because you can't wrestle forever, especially the way they do
no,
it now.
No.
I don't think you're going to have somebody like Ric Flair who had a 40-plus year career.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, how much do you want that? How much do you want to be able to walk when you're 50?
Yeah. That's very true.
Yeah, but See, Ric Flair doesn't seem to have any issues besides lately he was having some health issues, but Ric Flair hasn't really been hurt in the ring. He was in a plane crash. He's had some issues, but he's probably rare. So, I mean, he's like, that's why The Rock got out of it, because Rock realized probably that there's an end run to it.
Yeah,
for sure. And see, here's the thing, is that if you're The Rock or if you're John Cena, you can still stay huge and pretend to get hurt, but you don't actually have to get hurt in real life.
Exactly. It'll be interesting. I think he's going to be relegated to B-rolls, because I just don't see him having... The Rock has the it factor. Even wrestling, you could tell he had something different than most people. I don't see John Cena going anywhere, really.
You know what? I tell you what, man. Based off of this movie, he'll definitely get a shot at something good. And I think that if he's smart, he'll wait it out for those types of movies, maybe by the Todd Phillips of the world or the Judd Apatows or, you know, the slightly younger, hipper fucking generation. And not, you know, into the B stuff. But they'll give him a shot. Whether or not that next one works out, probably up to the director and the script. But with a good script and with a good direction, he was good. So we know it's possible.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I wish John Cena luck, just because physically, who can keep wrestling forever? It's really exactly. hard. From what I've heard, wrestling's a little bit better than it used to be, because like one of the reasons Roddy Piper died like at 65 was because he partied all night. I mean, Ric Flair, I recently heard an interview that says he probably slept with maybe 10,000 women or more. And he said,
well,
and
he said,
I couldn't really tell you because, you know, I was on the road 300 days a year for 40 years. I mean, come on, you got to get a guess.
Yeah.
And that's starting to treat it more like a sport with athletes as opposed to rock stars at an entertainment show.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still definitely an entertainment show, but the rock star lifestyle, I mean, especially in the age of Twitter and things, you're not getting away with you know, that kind of, you know, infidelities.
I think the other thing is kayfabe, basically the fact that wrestling is fixed. You know, back in the day, everybody had an idea, but nobody really knew up until Vince McMahon admitted it in court. So that's the other thing. Everybody knows it's a work. Everybody knows it's a work. So, you know, these guys.
It's still, and I've actually kind of turned the corner on this one because I just for a while there I was like, oh, wrestling fans are dumb, and I realized I was basing that off an ex girlfriend, so it wasn't fair. It was actually an interview that I was listening to with John Cena probably about a year ago, come to think of it, where he was basically saying, he's like, look, it's simply telling stories. You know what I mean? And there's a lot of different mediums for telling stories, and some people like the stories. And I was like, okay, you know what I mean? When you put it like that, it's just storytelling.
No, so, I agree whatever. With John Cena 100% on that. I do think...
And it's something that... You know, it's like a soap opera. It's day to day. You know, it continues on, and you know, people can follow it. It's like any other sports team. I mean, it's just as arbitrary to think about it as watching, you know, like Raiders.
I would say the only difference between wrestlers, and this is something I've heard wrestlers say, so I can't really say this is my opinion. Other wrestlers have said this, like, unlike any sport in the world, wrestlers are usually tougher. In the interview I heard with Ric Flair, he said he knows at least of 10 football players who tried to be wrestlers, and they quit within the first week of training because it was too hard.
Yeah, they definitely put a lot into what they do, you know?
Yeah.
And because wrestlers, they do it, like, back in the day, they were gone 300 days a year. So you're talking about possibly being hurt, you know, at least, you know, 300 days a year, you know?
Yeah, those dudes, you know, the show must go on. And that's you know, like, I'm a big fan of UFC and MMA and shit. And, you know, fighters drop out of fights constantly. Much to the chagrin of all the fans, too, I mean, half the time. But it's all about, hey, we want to make sure that we're healthy enough to, you know, because it is an actual competition and you don't want to go into something like that injured. But they definitely don't have like a oh, show must go on kind of mentality. People will take fights on short notice, but they don't fight injured. You know, they're not in there putting their bodies on the line even just to get punched in the face a couple of times, you know, to potentially get knocked out. I mean, you know, yeah, man, what a wrestler puts on the line is pretty hardcore every day.
I think the difference between wrestling and UFC is the fact that the wrestling, the whole goal of the wrestling is made to make it look real, but not. But from after every wrestler I've ever heard of an interview, everyone I've ever heard has said, yeah, this hurts. So there's nothing about wrestling that doesn't hurt. Like my favorite one.
And there's times when shit gets real. There's actually a real famous video of Brock Lesnar getting pissed off because a guy was throwing some shots a little too hard, and he just dropped a couple of elbows on this dude's head.
There's one.
And you can tell the difference really quickly, like, oh, that was real.
I think that may be or may not be. There's one, it's Brock Lesnar versus Braun Strowman. And Braun Strowman looks like he threw a, they call it a stiff punch, but looks like he actually connected. And Brock Lesnar legitimately hit him and dropped him to a knee, like with one, just like one, maybe two punches. And the guy's like, oh shit. Because Brock Lesnar's a legitimate badass. Besides the fact he's a massive individual.
He's trying to fight Daniel Cormier in the UFC, and that's a bad idea.
I think Brock Lesnar, unlike wrestling, I think Brock Lesnar's too old. I think he's past his prime. He's like Muhammad Ali when he was able to fight again.
And he was too juiced for too long, man. I mean, you know, how much of that are you going to retain when you have the stringent, you know, testing parameters of the modern day UFC? He's not going to be able to get all jacked to the tits. I mean, so he's going to have to rely on skill, and he's going to lose a lot of that mass.
Even,
you know, not being on that shit.
Even WWE at this point is fairly strict. They allow some stuff, but from what I've heard, it's not like it used to be when you had a Hulk Hogan and Randy Macho Man Savage being juiced to the gills, and you know they literally look like Boda bags because they're retaining so much water.
Yeah, well, I think also the drugs have gotten better.
Hopefully.
True.
So, anybody have any final thoughts?
No.
Ryan?
Nope. So, ladies, you guys are good people for trying to help out an old Indian man.
So, ladies and gentlemen, for Jonathan Charney, James Stevens, and Ryan, yes, Preston, thank you for watching.
Goodbye.